Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In the prior broadcast, we saw that Christians can be possessed with the devil. Today, we'll see how to get the devil out. And tomorrow, we'll see how to keep him out. So we're going to get right into the broadcast, and I didn't spend any time developing this thing about possessed with the devil. You have to listen to or read the notes of the broadcast from yesterday in order to be able to get the full lesson. Suffice it to say that Christians can be influenced, they can be controlled by the devil, and we have the scriptures there for you to be able to see it. Question is, when that happens, how do you get him out of your life? Well, the first thing is Acts chapter 26, verse 18. And this is for folks who aren't saved yet and who are troubled by the devil. The way to get him out of your life is to get saved. Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. Paul is giving his testimony, and he's talking about preaching to the Gentiles. And here's what he accomplished through the preaching of the Word of God in Acts chapter 26, verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Notice, before people get saved, they are under the power of Satan, from the power of Satan unto God. That's what Paul's ministry was to Gentiles. Notice in 1 John chapter 3, there are only two spiritual families in the world. You're either in God's family or you're in the devil's family. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. And so when a person gets saved, he is taken out of the family of the devil and put into the family of God. When you get saved, you become a child of God. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And verse 13 in the same chapter says that you're born of God. Now when you get saved, things really change in your life. You are a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So it really, really changes. And when all things become new, what happens when you get saved is that your, among other things, your mind changes. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16, you see something that a Christian has that a person who's not saved doesn't have. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So when you get saved, your mind changes. You might remember that man in the Gadarenes that we studied in the prior broadcast in Mark chapter 5. He did not have his right mind until the Lord came, and then he was sitting there clothed and in his right mind. So you suddenly have a way of thinking about things that you couldn't have thought about before you got saved. And what happens, or the Bible shows you, is that mind that you have is the mind of Christ, and that mind that you have is a sound mind. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, watch it, and of a sound mind. That's that man in the Gadarenes, he didn't have a sound mind. Not until Jesus came. And then he sat there and he was in his right mind. So the first way to get the devil out of your life, if you're not saved, is to get saved. Because God will turn you from the power of Satan unto God. All right, so that we understand. But now, what about a person who is saved? Well, to get the devil out of your life, here's the first thing you do after you get saved. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. You know, this is an interesting thing that Paul says here. He says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. When you get saved, you have all of the Spirit of God that you're ever going to have, because he comes into you and he puts you into Jesus Christ. But it is possible in this vessel of our body not to be filled with the Spirit of God. That's why he told you to be filled with the Spirit. And you will see after the apostles were baptized by the Spirit of God in Acts chapter 2, you will see that subsequently and on more than one occasion, they were filled with the Spirit, indicating this is something that needs to be done on a regular basis. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, for instance, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Well, they'd already been baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. This is a subsequent filling. And so you must be filled with the Spirit of God. If you're not filled with the Spirit of God, then whatever portion of you is not filled with the Spirit is going to be filled with something else. And what that does is it leaves room for the devil to influence and control your life in that area. Look in Matthew chapter 12 and notice this. It's an interesting thing. Matthew chapter 12. Look at this in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 28. You're going to see several instances where Jesus Christ casts devils out of people. And then if you'll read the entire verse, you're going to learn something. Matthew chapter 12, all right, look at verse 28. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. You know, that's how Jesus Christ cast out devils, by the Spirit of God. And so every day, be conscious of following what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, being filled with the Spirit of God. And when you're filled with the Spirit of God, there's no room for the devil to influence and control your life or possess anything, because you're filled with the Spirit. Now remember, possession is not ownership, it's influence and control from the prior broadcast. So to get the devil out of your life, be filled with the Spirit. Now here's another one. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. All right, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, what happens is a person sins and then is taken captive by the devil at his will. And this is addressed to Christians. Now, how does he get the devil out? How does he get out of that trap? Watch. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning verse 24, we have to read the context. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You know, this argument about whether or not Christians can be possessed with the devil, I think, should easily be settled, if nowhere else, in this little passage of Scripture. Because here is a situation where the devil has just taken this person captive, and he did it at his own will, at the devil's will. What happened to him? Well, he got into something from which he needs to repent, verse 25, by acknowledging the truth. And when he does that, he can recover himself out of the snare of the devil. So what do you do if you find yourself in that situation? Repent. Repent. In other words, turn to the Lord and you say, this thing that I've gotten myself into, for instance, I don't even go down the list. There's so many things that Christians get themselves into these days. It's unbelievable. And it could be drugs, it can be pornography, it can be lasciviousness, it can be deep bitterness and envy and covetousness. Oh, man. And this stuff controls them. And so what a person needs to do is he needs to repent, and then he needs to acknowledge the truth of what he's into or she's into, that it in fact is sin, and then recover himself or herself out of the snare of the devil. Now listen, there are people in your life who recognize the trouble you're in right now, if you're in this situation. And you know what you need to do? You need to listen to those who are instructing you with the truth about the true nature of your problem. Right now, you're bothered that they are intruding into your life, but they see it, and they see the mess you're in. And when they say to you, look, this looks like an evil spirit, you need to listen to them, and you need to listen to the verses of Scripture that they are quoting that instruct you, because you're opposing yourself, and you're ensnared by the devil. And what will happen is you can walk out of that trouble by acknowledging that truth, repenting, and recovering yourself from the devil. That's how this works. So to get the devil out of your life, first get saved. Then once you're saved, be filled with the Spirit and turn from your sin. Here's another thing. Straighten out your doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, well, here we are, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now he goes on to explain what he's talking about in this context. Lies and hypocrisy, conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats, and so forth. Okay? Well, there are a number of doctrines of devils that are floating around out there these days. And if you want to get the devil out of your life and get out from underneath his influence and control in this area, straighten out your doctrine. Listen, if you're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, then the way to make it stop is to quit giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils by straightening out your doctrine. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Look at verse 13, 14, and 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So there are men running around today that are false apostles. It's no great thing, Paul says, if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. So they're posing as ministers of righteousness. They are working for the devil. They are deceitful workers, pretending to be apostles of Christ. And he says that no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. You know the way out of that mess? Straighten out your doctrine. Don't give heed to seducing spirits. Don't give heed to doctrines of devils. You say, well, how will I know? Humbly receive and believe the words of God. That's how you do it. Look at the Bible and humbly. You know, the problem is most people come to the Bible with a proud mind, and then they want to show somebody else what they know. Humbly receive and believe the words of God. What they say, not what somebody else taught you to believe they said. Now listen, straighten out your doctrine. Watch this. That involves the Word of God. Watch this. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. We've already seen that the Lord cast out devils by the Spirit of God, so be filled with the Spirit. That'll get the devil out. Watch this. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. Watch what the Lord used to get the devil out. Matthew 8:16, watch this. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. Watch it. And he cast out the spirits, how? With his word, and healed all that were sick. That's right. You get into this word of God, and it will get that devil down, out. And you know something? The word of God is where you find the wisdom that's from above. In James chapter 3, we touched on this a little bit in the prior broadcast. In James chapter 3, there is a wisdom that is earthly, sensual, and devilish, and then there's another wisdom that comes from above. James chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, this wisdom that is from above is first pure. That's what we love about the Word of God. The Word of God is pure. Then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. That's what you need. And that comes from the Word of God. And you know what it'll do? That will strengthen you in the Word of God and get you away from that earthly, sensual, devilish wisdom that you find in James chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. This is very, very important. Okay, next thing. Listen to the right spiritual music. Listen to the right spiritual music. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. I realize that's in the Old Testament, but notice, 1 Samuel chapter 16, very, very important. We'll see another cross-reference to it in the New Testament. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, you know what happened? Saul was troubled by an evil spirit. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. So how'd they get that spirit out of him, or how did they deal with that spirit? Verse 15, Saul's servant said unto him, behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants, which are before thee, to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass, when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. Watch what happens in verse 23. It came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. And the evil spirit departed from him. You want to get the devil out? Listen to the right spiritual music. You don't even know how important the right kind of music is. This isn't a broadcast on the right spiritual music. We have those broadcasts already recorded, and you can see them on the website. But I'm telling you something. Most of the music that is being played in churches today is not the right spiritual music. It's not. Much of it is a rock music. The name Jesus is splattered around in there every once in a while. It is strictly for entertainment. It is sensual. It deals with the flesh. You feel something that you associate with the Spirit of God, but I'm going to tell you, more times than not, it's the wrong spirit. It's either your spirit or an evil spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 18, 19, and 20, we've already seen verse 18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Watch it. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Those, there they are. Psalms, those are the 150 that you see in the Old Testament. Hymns, they're in your book. And spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The right kind of music is associated with spirit filling. And you see it in Saul's day when David began to play on a harp. Then that evil spirit left him. Saul was refreshed and the evil spirit left him. And that's very important. So you're going to find yourself on certain days troubled by this, and you're going to wonder if it doesn't have something to do with a bad spirit, and just play the right music. It really will refresh you. How do you get the devil out? Ask the Lord to rebuke him. Listen, when God, that's the next thing, when God was on the earth, manifest in the flesh, you know how he got devils out? Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. He got him out by his spirit. He got him out by his word. And look at this. Matthew chapter 17, verse 18. Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. And that was a tough spirit. His disciples couldn't get him out. They were having trouble with that. And it was an element of unbelief. The Lord rebuked that devil, and out he went. So that's very important. Now listen, we have instruction in the Bible about this. Look in Jude, verse 9. Would you agree that Michael the archangel is very powerful in the armies of God? I would say definitely so, right? Well, in Jude 9, watch what happens. Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." So what happened is that when Moses died, you know, they weren't able to find his sepulcher. And the reason is that when he died and the Jews moved on, Michael came and got his body and took it to heaven. You know that because he shows up on the Mount of Transfiguration with Elijah in Matthew chapter 17. Well, when Michael came to get that body, the devil had something to say about that. And rather than bring a railing accusation against the devil, Michael simply said, "The Lord rebuke thee." And that was the end of the story. And then he got the body and went on to heaven. Look at it again in Zechariah, Old Testament, Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3. And look at verses 1 and 2. Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. "He showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him." Well, this is the high priest, and this is the devil resisting him. Watch it. "And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire?" So what did God do? You know, God's powerful, right? All powerful. He says to the devil, "The Lord rebuke thee." So if it's good enough for Michael and it's good enough for the Lord to say that to the devil when troubled by the devil, then you know what? Say it. "The Lord rebuke thee." And don't say anything else. There's no need. You see it twice in the scripture. You say, you know, the trouble with Christians is they get this idea because they've been taught this by certain people. Oh, the devil can't bother you after you get saved. Can't be possessed by the devil after you get saved. And they don't even know what the definition of the word possessed is. It means to be influenced or controlled by, and we see evidence of it in the Bible. If you don't believe that, you're never going to deal with these things. But if you realize that the devil can have influence in your life like that and can control your life, I mean, here's a guy in 2 Timothy chapter 24 who's taken captive by the devil at his will, then you'll listen to this message and employ these things to keep from having this trouble. If you're saved, be filled with the Spirit, turn from your sin, straighten out your doctrine, listen to the right spiritual music, ask the Lord to rebuke the devil. And there's one other thing. Forgive others. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, you are reading about the forgiveness of the man that was sinning by fornication in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, when Paul writes the next letter, he is telling the church to forgive that man because he straightened out the mess. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 9, 10, and 11. "For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ." Watch it. "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." That's Paul telling the Corinthians that Satan could get an advantage of us if we don't forgive this guy. And then Paul says, we're not ignorant of his devices. Unfortunately, I think Christians are ignorant of his devices and don't realize the trouble they're in. I don't believe you're there anymore if you've listened to the broadcast from yesterday and today. Believe me, you don't want Satan to get an advantage of you. So to cut off that advantage, what do you do? Forgive others. Otherwise, things like bitterness will spring up and defile many, according to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. And the way to keep that from happening is to get the bitterness and the anger out. And the way you get the bitterness and the anger out is you forgive. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verses 30 and 32. Ephesians 4, 30 and 32. Watch this. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, watch it, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You got to do it. Otherwise, the Spirit of God is grieved. When you're not filled with the Spirit, guess what? You leave an opening for the devil. And Paul said, we're not ignorant of his devices. Now, you may very well have somebody in your life you haven't forgiven, and you've been reluctant to do it because you're so upset about it still. Lord said, hey, I've forgiven you. You forgive them. Otherwise, Satan gets an advantage. Now, since the devil can possess a person, even a Christian, it is important to know the biblical means by which to get the devil out. And what you've heard today are practical and scriptural ways to deal with devil possession. Get saved, be filled with the Spirit, turn from your sin and recover yourself, straighten out your doctrine, listen to the right spiritual music, ask the Lord to rebuke the devil and forgive others. And may it be well with you, and may you be refreshed when you follow God's words. I really pray this has been a help to you. And I pray that it'll help others that you can tell about this particular broadcast. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.